do begin.
Hey, what is up, guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Social Primate Podcast. Today, my guest, we have Jaime, we have Yesenia, and they're the host of Que Me Cuentas Podcast.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Thank you for having us.
Thank you guys for coming out. We've been sitting here just kind of chatting it up for a minute. I like to have those kind of conversations before the podcast gets started, just because I feel like it, first of all, breaks the ice, but also kind of gives us the opportunity to kind of like just have some time to like connect without having the pressure of being on the mic, you know?
Build a little rapport and stuff.
Yeah, you know? Because I mean, once you get in front of the mic, everything kind of changes sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of, you know, you get a little under pressure and you're like, oh, what am I going to say? What is he going to ask? And I'm sure you guys have experience with that.
A little bit, yeah. Our podcast format is a little different, so we don't really have like guests in front of us usually, where we're like, hey, all right. So it's a little different, and this is, I'm not going to say it's new, because I think we've both done podcasts before, but as far as our own, yeah, it's not. It's very edited.
I was listening to it just a few weeks ago. I've been catching up with episodes, and it's just like this project that I feel like has been doing a really beautiful job at putting these stories together from individuals, you know. Just I'm assuming you guys pick like a theme for each episode beforehand and just kind of get people to record their own experiences or write it down and then record it, right?
Yeah, I think we met at a coffee shop before we started, and we came up with a list of themes, mm-hmm. and things that we thought would be things that people could tell stories around, and we have a huge list. So then we decided from there, we picked the ones that we can collect stories from those themes, and we just go from there. Sometimes it depends on the stories we get, the people we know, and we go from there.
Yeah, it's something, usually the themes we try to make them something related to the community, Latino stuff, but it's not always. I mean, brothers, are, it's not like, oh, it's such a Latino thing to have brothers. It's not like that.
The last event that I went to was happening at Orchateria, and you guys were like having basically an open mic. I don't know if that one was a specific theme as well, but again, when I showed up, I didn't know what to expect. I'm not the type of person who normally would just go to an open mic type of thing, not because I don't enjoy them, but just because sometimes like they're not necessarily in my general area. I have to drive out to LA, you know, from Southeast LA, you know, it's a good 20-30 minute drive sometimes. So yeah. It's like, it's really out of your way, and it's not available always in your community.
That's a great point. I think that's part of the reason we wanted to have stories like this from our community, because a lot of these stories are sometimes inaccessible, or you have to drive to the west side, or, you know, we drew a lot of inspiration from The Moth Storytelling, which is a storytelling show on NPR, and we would go to live events, and we would feel really underrepresented in that community. There was a lot of people from Hollywood, or, you know, a lot of people that are very well rehearsed. And so we wanted to have something that's for us, for our community, where we can come up and tell stories on the mic. And it's based on our experiences, and everybody's story is valid, and it's going to be celebrated.
Yeah, and we when we had gone in the past, we had seen, as you said, some Latinos that had gone up there, and they weren't sometimes as good as some of the white folks. And I remember one of the first ones we went to, there was this guy, and he did okay, and he got really high scores, because in that event, they give people scores. And I remember just saying like, all the judges, you know, it's like white guilt. They're just giving them a high score for white guilt. Yeah. And I was just like, I don't want it to be that way. I want us to, you know, develop and cultivate these skills to tell these stories. And it's its own little thing, the storytelling. People are like, yeah, storytelling. I mean, we all tell stories, or everything is storytelling. Movies is storytelling. Plays are storytelling. Poetry is storytelling. But it's its own thing, The Moth. It's like short little stories. They're supposed to kind of have some sort of a pointed, like an arc within, mm-hmm. like a mini little movie or something, a mini little, yeah, like a story.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then at Orchateria, we had people that we had asked to come to tell stories. We give them the format, 5 minutes, you know, beginning, middle, end. We give them the format so that when you come up to the mic, and the theme, of course, so that when you come up to the mic, you can have those in your back pocket in terms of when you're going to tell a story. Because when you get up to the mic, at open mics, when it's poetry, you can have a paper, you know, you can read off of the paper. Or, you know, you're doing the slam poets, they're rehearsed, they've memorize the poem, or they're doing their thing, you know. But when you tell a story, it has to be, we try to make it as like authentic and as part of what a real story would be, how it would be told in a conversation with your friends, or like you were saying earlier, at a bar or in La Sala, or, you know, wherever you congregate with your friends, we try to create that.
Yeah, and as you were saying, in a sense, it's not an open mic, and because we do curate, we try to have at least 4 or 6 storytellers, and then we do have a portion of it that is open to the audience for people to put their name in if they're like sitting there thinking like, okay, like for example, the event you went to, the theme was just school day, so any story from your time in school, and anyone sitting there can be inspired and be like, hey, I got one, I think I'm gonna put my name in there. And then they come up and tell stories, and sometimes they're not, that it's a competition, but sometimes these people that just pop up, their stories can be a little stronger than the people we had curated, because they're just very good storytellers, or they had a really good one for that theme.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. And we get nervous. You know, I get super nervous. I'll ramble. But that's, we have a 5-minute limit because we want it to be just, I think, the most powerful it can be in a short amount of time. Once you start going on tangents, and it's like, well, what the heck are you talking about? So we had that event on Friday, and I went over time, and they played the guitar at 5 minutes, and I was like, oh shit, I need to finish. You know, I got nervous, but it's a good parameter. Like, it creates this nice container for you to kind of explore within that container, and then you get to the meat of it right away. You can't talk about, you know, the color of the sky when you're getting into the, when you have 5 minutes and you have to like just get in there.
Yeah, get to the point. Which is funny, because when I was driving over here from Griffith Park, I was listening to some episodes, and then I'm thinking like, do I have stories to tell? Like, you know, I feel like sometimes you kind of go through your life not thinking that your stories are really worth of telling, you know, or just expressing to others. But then you start thinking like, wait a second, like, you do have stories that you can, like you said, they don't always have to carry a message, but they can bring some sort of value or relatable experience to someone else that's going through that or went through that. And they feel like they can find somebody that related to that same thing, right? I don't know if that makes any sense.
Oh, right, yeah, now. It makes total sense.
It makes total sense. And I hear you tell stories in your episodes when you have guests. You're like, oh, yeah, like the other day, you know, I was at work and people asked if they could display this sign about, you know, the cops and this, you know, this.
Oh, yeah.
This white person came, and you didn't say white, but, you know, this person came and they complained about it. And I was like, hey, I mean, everybody has stories. It's ridiculous to be like, do I have stories? And I think one of the things is does anybody care, or am I going to be able to tell my story in the right way? And there technically isn't a right way. Obviously, sometimes we're just feeling it more, or they could be a little more successful because of the way we structured it, or just because we were really feeling it. But it's a good skill to try to work on. And it's a skill that we really want, you know, the people of our community to learn, so that they can, you know, because I feel hopefully in the future, Hollywood is moving to the sense where we're going to be getting a lot more opportunities. And I'm sure people have been thinking that even like 30 years ago, they're like, it's going to happen this next decade and nothing. But even for jobs, like at meetings, everywhere, it's a good skill to have, you know? It's like, what is it called? Toastmasters or?
Oh, yeah. Those like national organization that curates just trains people, or
have
events and stuff.
I've seen Latino groups like on Instagram and stuff that they're training us to have these skills. And so in a sense, we wanted this platform not just for our friends, because we're all both in the artistic communities, you know, where I do a lot of storytelling through theater on the stage. 10 minutes is what I do. Yeah. I guess maybe everything we do is short stories, but
maybe we'd have ADHD.
I mean, the new generation does. All of us do, because of our phones, you know. But we don't want to do no full length, nothing. But not just for our friends who are artists and poets and into that. But we also just had this guy who I remember. He tells good stories at the bar. So we asked him to come and tell a story about why they call you Santiago, because your name's not Santiago, it's Juan. So come on. And he loves to talk, so he came, oh yeah, I'll do it, you know. And so we have, you know, something for we want all levels to participate and use this format, this thing that we built.
How do you get around trying to convince people to feel comfortable enough to open up to these stories?
A lot of flattery, I guess. Flattery.
A compliment sandwich. This is great, but then do this, and then no, I'm just kidding. You know what? Honestly, Hyman does a lot of that. I don't really work with the curating of the actual stories, you know, because I don't, but he does. And so he has to deal with personalities or, you know, because it is really hard to be vulnerable. And so somebody may have given you like their whole heart on the page and you're like, actually, can you cut that part? I was like, oh, not everybody's going to be receptive to that. So we're very, I think that we're very open up front about, are you willing to work with us and with us, meaning Jaime, to make your story better, to improve it, because we want the best story to come out of this experience you're sharing with us, to honor you and to honor the story.
Yeah, and I think some of my favorite ones are the ones where people were very receptive to it. I have my friend, for example, Patricia, who, you know, she's just very rough around the edges. You know, she grew up in the projects of Boyle Heights and running the streets, she says, you know, doing a lot of illegal stuff, coming in and out of like juvie. And she, you know, that's what she leads with. And she's very comfortable with it and talking about like, I'm not going to tell the things that I, and, but, but when working with her, I wanted people to see the Patricia that I've come to know, the beautiful humanity of her. And so it was great for me to help her shape her story, because she's a playwright. She's written full length plays, you know. I'm over here with my 10 minutes though, but yeah, she's written, you know. But like me, she doesn't have a degree, you know. She's a heavy equipment operator, you know. And she always loved reading, you know. Even in juvie, she was reading, you know, the classics and stuff. And so I admire her so much, and I would never have thought someone who's led with fear so much in life would build a friendship with someone like her. But just those hours I spent, you know, shaping her story about how she and her mom and her siblings finally bought a house after living in the project so long. And it's beautiful for me to be able to show everybody, like, look at this beautiful person that I admire so much.
Yeah. And I think I want to speak to something you said earlier about like us not feeling confident or supported in telling our stories. I think that comes from a very real place of fear of, we don't see ourselves in the media. That's why I love your generation. You know, we're only a little older than you guys, so but you guys have this energy around like, okay, well, you're not gonna do it for me, I'm gonna, like, look where we are. You have music here, you have art space here. You, like, if they're not gonna, you know, open the door for you, you kick down the door, or you make your own door, and you're making art, you're making music. Even if nobody's giving us the opportunities, I think that we're making our own opportunities and doing these kinds of things with your podcast and the art community that we're part of, because nobody's going to be like, oh yes, let's help you. There's a lot of talk, there's a lot of people that are very quote unquote, you know, want diversity, but when it comes to like actually helping us, there's not a lot out there, so we just do it ourselves. And I love this energy that you have with your own podcast, with the space and everything.
I agree. You know, even with the younger people that I see behind me coming up, you know, I'm just like, they're taking it even a step further, you know? I mean, for sure there's ways they can kind of clean themselves up a bit, you know? But the idea is like, we're going to take it into our own control to make sure that we get the spaces, create them, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like that saying, like, if you, which is a saying, I totally forgot.
Build it, they will come. I don't know.
Field of dreams.
I don't know if it's that one.
But yeah, that is that one. Yeah, you build it, they will come, you know? And that's, and you realize at that point that there is people looking for the spaces already, you know? And then they start coming out of the hole and you're like, hey, you know, come rejoice and, you know, let's build together.
Yeah, exactly. Like we were talking about Alivio earlier, and that being one of the only spaces in Southeast LA that has a space for us to be creative and music, poetry, and, you know, rap artists, slam poets. We just feel so validated when we see that, especially where we're from, right? Southeast LA is super underserved is what they call it, which is just, you know, code for they don't want to give us the resources that we need. But we just, you know, I love that energy. Like, let's do our own thing. And that's what we're trying to do also in our own. And like, I like what you said earlier about us coming from communities that not always have, you know, maybe you don't have an arts degree, because nobody ever told me I could be an artist. I just work, you know, I have to go to work. I have to hustle. I have to help my mom, whatever it is that you have to do. But we should be able to tell our stories too. Our stories matter, you know, our communities matter. And we don't want to keep telling that same story over and over again about Cholos and this and that. You know, like, there's so much more to who we are than that.
Yeah, we don't want to depict the stereotypes. And yet, we went to Fullerton with that audience. I told a story about a Cholo. But hey, you know, it probably is part of us. And those stories are valid. And those Cholos are
my brother is an ex-gang member, you know, so but I just think the spectrum of who we are is not shown. It's just like this very little piece over here, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot more, and I think that's what we're all showing to undoing in our work.
Yeah, you brought that up. I remember this time when I was like maybe 13, 14 years old. I was working at some warehouse. I don't know why I was working at a warehouse at 14 years old, but I was. And the guy's like, hey, I'm going to take you to this place in, I think, where was it? Like somewhere in Anaheim. He was a manager of the warehouse. He said, you're going to come with me. You're going to check out some other warehouse. I was like, okay. I didn't question it. He's got into his car. And then, so he's driving me in his Mercedes Benz. We're just fucking heading out. I'm just like, he's making conversation. He's like, so I have a question for you. Like, being from Cudahy and Hispanic, how did you stay out from, like, how did you stay out of gangs? And I was like, what? Like, that wasn't even crossing ever in my mind, being a gangster, you know? But in his perception, like, just having this brown kid from this area, it's like, how did you stay away from the gangs? Like, what? And that was my first time that I felt like, what? Like, kind of targeted or put in a box, you know?
Yeah.
And I
was like, what?
No, that totally reminds me of, like, there was this time right out of high school where I got to do a 3-week internship in Universal Studios, like in the studios, mm-hmm. like 1 week in movie, one week in film, and 1 week in like sound and music or something. And one of these guys that I had spent a lot of the week with, you know, he told me one day, you know what? I just saw last night this movie called, you know, Mi Vida Loca. And so I just want to tell you that now I understand, like, oh, how you grew up and what your life is like. So I'm so proud of you for being here, you know, and like leaving that life and stuff. And I'm just like, I think I kind of blew up on him and it kind of messed up some opportunities I could have had. But I was just like,
you're like, read a
that's
book.
Not me, all right? I'm gonna. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my vida has been loca, but not that loca. I'm a loca myself. I'm kidding.
It's like loca. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're, you know, I totally get where you're coming from. Like, these stories that just put everybody in a box, or at least our culture, in a sense, in a box, right? And it's at this point we're all trying to, like, hey, we just live normal lives, you know? Yeah. Like some guy came in at work the other day too, and he was like, no offense, you know, like, I respect the, like, obviously, you know, Hispanic heritage month, but some guy came up to me and he's like, hey, man, you know, down the street this weekend, they're going to have Hispanic Heritage Month happening. You should go. You know, they're celebrating your culture. And in my head, I'm like, bro, I celebrate I live that culture every day when I get home, you know, like the tortillas or whatever it is.
I eat beans every day.
Like, I don't need to go to that to appreciate it, dude.
Yeah, I'm Latina all month. That's what I say. I'm like, I'm Mexican all month. I mean, all month. I'm sorry. All year, you know, doesn't matter the month. But yeah, and it's so weird because we're like the majority, right, in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And we're still so disappeared. We're disappeared from the narratives of what it means to be in Los Angeles. And that, like, also reminds me of why Jaime had this experience. I don't know if you want to share about the podcasters.
Oh, why we were inspired to have this podcast. Because, you know, we listen to a lot of podcasts, and before I found any, like, Latino podcasts, I listened to everything, and there was one that was some sort of political podcast, and it was these, like, liberal white women. One was lesbian, one was just, you know, I guess an ally, or she was just a person, you know? But they were talking about L.A., and they were saying, you know, L.A. is a city that doesn't have any culture. Like, New York has its own culture, Texas has its culture, you know, Florida, but LA, all it is a bunch of transplants and freeways and studios, you know, that connect them, and that's all it is. But it doesn't have its own culture. And I was just like, what the hell? Like, we're so invisible to them. Even the liberal, well-meaning people don't see us. Nobody sees us. Like the movie An LA Story. I don't know if there was any Latinos in that movie. Maybe there wasn't in the background, but it was like Steve Martin and Sarah Jessica Parker or something. I don't know. It's a very old movie. I'm dating myself, but but it was.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. But yeah, it made me think, like, I want our stories to be also in this space of podcasting. And obviously there's a lot of Latino podcasts, but in terms of like this thing that like the moth is, or the storytelling thing, there wasn't a only Latino one. And those were the stories that I really liked in the moth. There's a bunch of amazing ones from India, from, it was all the ones of the people of color that I really like, just kind of like in films, you know, I love foreign films, because I get to travel to all these different cultures, but I also gravitated anytime I saw an image of a Latino in those old films, like in The Goonies, my favorite character was the maid, you know? Yeah. You know, Lupe Antiveros, RIP, you know, I was all about her and I loved her scenes. I used to recite that scene, even though it was so offensive, the way that kid mouth was like using his Spanish to scare her as like a joke. But at the end, you know, she's the one who found the diamonds, and she should have just kept them to herself, and the ending would have been different, you know. She should have just like, you guys have been, you know, treating me like crap this whole movie, well, I'm gonna keep these diamonds and leave. And
reboot,
in my version, that's what happens. Yeah,
and the reboot. Yeah, because we're so starved to see ourselves, you know. It's always like it was all Univision or Telemundo in Espanol, mm-hmm. and then, you know, in the American television, like, we don't see ourselves, except Ricky Ricardo was when I first saw Ricky Ricardo, I loved it because I was like, oh shit, at least there's a, you know, Spanish speaking man on there. But we don't have but now I feel like there's so much, there's more Gentified and, you know, the Gordita Chronicle,
Blue Beetle.
Oh, right. And there's some, and that's, people flock to those shows or to those movies because we want to see ourselves on screen. And you always hear these statistics about how Latinos consume or are the highest number of people that go watch movies, and but yet we're not represented in that, in those spaces. But that's why we want to celebrate, you know, we want to tell our stories. And like the thing that Jaime shared in his story was, you know, in our communities at Bell High School, there's also groups, like there's the Rockabilly Kids and there's the, you know, emo kids, and there's the, you know, we're not just one thing. And it's like we have to like bang our head against the wall almost, like, hello, like, we're not just, because we're, you know, there's just been a lot of made us invisible. Sorry, I'm rambling. Excuse me. We're just invisible, you know, but we're not invisible, and we're not going to stop telling our own stories and our own versions and our own, you know, ways that empower us in our community.
Yeah. And I think, like, growing up when we were in Southeast LA and we didn't leave it, we didn't even, at least I didn't realize that we weren't just people, that we were like this other thing, you know, because in our schools, it was like the John Hughes old movies with the, you know, yeah, with the jocks and the whatever. It wasn't like the Latino kids and the black kids and the Asian kids. We didn't have that. It was like 99 point something, you know, Latino. Yeah. So you were able to have this identity as like this kind of thing. And it's not till you graduate and people go off to college that they come back from their first semester, you know, with their Cesar Chavez and their Frida flags and everything. And suddenly they're like, this is who I am. Oh, wow. I'm not just a person. I'm kind of an outsider, and I'm so proud of it. People like come back to their culture, people come back to their parents' music and really take pride in it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's just kind of like a rite of passage.
Yeah, I agree on the whole thing with the, you know, just being more appreciative of the culture that you're around in, especially when it's, you know, like, for like you mentioned, when I went out to college too, I was kind of in the shock where I was like, oh fuck, you know, I went to Elizabeth Learning Center in Cudahy and then to Bell High School, and it's like you said, 99.7, you know, Hispanic, and it's just like that one Arab group, you know, like of,
yeah,
and it's like, oh damn, you know, we're the majority on there. But once you leave, you become the straight man minority, you know, like, yeah. You realize that, like, holy shit, I need to make some friends in here, or like, you know, and it becomes hard, and that's when you start like self-reflecting, like, fuck, who am I, like, where am I coming from, like, you have all these questions, you know. And I think, again, some of these stories that you've managed to put together in this, I'll say, in this collection that you guys are creating, you know, it's a variety of experiences that really let you, like, see the human experience through someone else's eyes and try to reconnect and just see, like, you're not alone in this, you know, there are more perspectives outside of what you think. And I feel like, I'm assuming at this point, these conversations have broadened your perspectives on just life in general, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's a lot of stories, hopefully, that are just, I'm not going to say mundane, but just stories about normal, relatable human things that don't have to do with, like, you know, Latinidad so much.
Yeah.
It happens to be in the background because maybe you're switching into Spanish when you're talking about your dad and his troquita and how he bought you a paleta de coco and you wrote, you know, Yvonne es una puta on the thing, to one of my favorites.
Oh,
but it's just
right, like that's what a lot of people say too. Like that's what, like, I'm not just Latina, like I'm also a person in the world experiencing. And I think it does build empathy. I think earlier when we were talking before we recorded, you had said about, you know, having that, imagining that story and having that experience and being able to relate to it. I think storytelling and any piece of art that you see is going to, if it does something to you and moves something inside of you, a song, a piece of artwork, a graffiti, whatever, a tattoo, whatever, if it's going to move something in you and it makes you feel something, then it's good art, in my opinion. And and I can look at it or I can listen to it and I can read that story over and over again, whatever it is that I love, and it's gonna do something to me and it's gonna change something inside of me. And I think that's what we're trying to make, like good art, good stories that are funny and relatable and also kind of, you know, sometimes they're a little sad, but that's because we all like have a diverse set of experiences.
Yeah, no, there was a story, I think, I want to say it was, might have been your story, Yesenia, but it was about, like, stealing.
Oh, man, yeah, man.
but I mean, when I was listening to that I had flashbacks because I was notorious when I was a little kid to be just doing this stuff, and I got caught at La Curaçao in Southgate, like, by the security, my, you know, similar experience, they called my parents, they were fucking mad, and it was, like, the worst time ever in my life, but I had personally never heard a story of somebody else necessarily going through that in that way, you know? And I was like, the moment you were kind of describing that, I was like, this is me just in a different life, you know? Like, similar kind of, not completely similar, because when you got a little older, you got a little extreme there. But
I kept stealing.
But at least in my experience, that kind of was like, oh, okay, fuck this. Like, I'm kind of, me espanté, you know? I was like, hey, oh no. But just hearing that stuff, you know, just me blaming my friend, I put the blame on some kid. Like, my mom hates him up until this day. He's like, ese Alex, ya no lo quiero ver. But, and it was all my idea, you know, but it's something that I kept to myself, that kind of a guilt that I carried, you know, up until a specific time in my life that I was like, I did it. I made him come with me. I got caught. Like, and I don't know, I just felt like relatable, and I felt like I was able to, like, you know what, and just kind of breathe and, like, laugh at this experience happened to me, you know, like, I was okay, but I was able to kind of still just experience, you know, it's weird as it may be.
I hope your mom doesn't listen to your podcast.
I think at some point you get old enough to just tell them, like, yeah, you know, when I was like 15, you know, I was ditching. It's like
yeah, and I think that's part of a storytelling that we want to share, is that real, like, stories about what really happens, you know. I don't want to be like, and then, you know, everything's a happy ending, because life's not always a happy ending, you know. We want to create, like, those real experiences that we all have where you know maybe you're not so proud of yourself, maybe you're kind of like, oh shit, I fucked up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that's the theme we want, also, like, a theme where the story is, you know, the time when you were the bad guy, maybe, because it's those vulnerable stories that I think I'm really into, the ones where we kind of get to peek into things that people don't usually share, or the moments that you're not so proud of, not your, like, Instagram picture where you're, like, you know, in Hawaii with your wife, or, you know, at the lake fishing on a, well, that's white, but, you know.
I guess the Mexican version of that.
Rio.
And the Rio.
Rio, cruzando that time.
And the Whittier Narrows.
Whittier Narrows.
The selfie when you cross the river or whatever, you know. So,
yeah, I think that's also, like, what makes art good, is, like, that there's something at stake for you when you're sharing it. It's because you can read something and then you're like, you know, so what? You know, but we want to know, we want to ask those questions, like, what does that mean? What does that mean on a deeper level?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get there? And how do you put that on the page, and how do you put that on the stage? That's why the live events are so fun, because it's really fucking scary. You know, it's really scary. We get super nervous, but it creates, like, this weird kind of, like, camaraderie. I was just talking to my coworkers that went, and they were just said, you know, it's just really good vibes. You know, everybody, you walk up and you tell a story, a personal story as adults. When do we get to do that, really? You know, and really listen. Nobody's on their phones. Like, we're all, like, kind of listening, you know, mostly, you know, I think. right? And then now, what do you think? I'm just rambling.
No, I mean, it's funny. I always like hearing that when people are, in this case, you guys are the ones helping put this together, that there's still like this hesitation, fear, like nervousness happening right before you're going to, you know, start this stuff. Because it makes you think that anybody, I'm pretty sure anybody almost going through this whole, you know, same scenario is feeling almost the exact same feeling. Like that feeling of like, oh, okay, here we go. This, you just get this, you know? And that to me is like, if they can do it, then we can do it, you know? And that's usually what's stopping us from getting up there and just saying it.
Yeah, they say that, you know, stage fright or public speaking is one of the biggest fears. It's bigger than even the fear of death for some people. And I definitely have it, you know, otherwise I would probably be somewhere else. You know, I tried stand up once and I was relatively successful, but the nerves were just a little bit more than the
ganas to do it.
the good part, you know, so I didn't do it. But since then I've been trying like exposure therapy. So currently I'm addicted to karaoke, you know. I do a lot of, it started at more karaoke, but now I sometimes need my fix like 3 times a week. And I've made some really good friends.
That's an intervention. I'm just kidding.
And I made some really good friends doing that. But also I wanted to do it so that if we ever did have live events, I wouldn't be as nervous to get out there. And maybe it's reduced it some, but I still get super nervous. Yeah.
But I feel like at this point, you at least know how to navigate it a little bit better to be like, all right, let's go. You know, and I feel similar. Like, it may be hard to believe for some people, but like I've always been like super introverted. Like, if we were outside somewhere right now and it was us three, I probably would not approach you guys. You know, I mean, I'd probably talk to you guys, so I'd probably be like, hey, what's up? But I'll get awkward immediately. That's just, I don't know. It's just like, I guess my nature when I'm not like in front of a microphone, but I'm like very like introverted, you know? So being, you know, just in the Arts Fest, you know, just being there in front of everybody, I was nervous. Like, people were just coming, what are you doing here? Like, recording, and I'm just recording everybody else. Like, this whole time, I'm like shitting bricks, like, oh, fuck, do I look stupid? You know, like, all these things that just kind of like happen.
Yeah.
And then, but eventually, some people come up to me, like, dude, this looks cool, and, you know, whatever the, you know, the compliments or whatever it was. But it just makes you feel like, okay, I'm selling this image that I feel confident or look confident, you know?
Make it till you make it.
I believed it. Yeah, that's where I met you at the Silla Arts Festival. And I remember I just thought, like, this guy has got it together. So now I realize the whole thing was...
Yeah, it's a whole charade, right?
It's a whole charade. So I think we're going to leave now. No, just kidding.
Ended.
And scene. No, kidding. Yeah, I mean, it's part of it, right? The nerves and the vulnerability hangover, I call it, afterward. You just be like... You know, because you put yourself out there, and you know, then you, I think we're super awkward. That's why we had that other, the first storytelling thing we started, and Jaime started it in
2015-ish, around there.
Yeah, because Josefina.
Yeah, my mentor Josefina, she told me, you know, you're definitely very awkward, you know.
She told you?
Yeah, and we need to turn that into a strength. You know, you need to take your perceived weaknesses and use them as strength. And besides being awkward, you also have something about you that's kind of charming. So we're going to have this storytelling event that you guys are going to put on at the space that they had right there in Boyle Heights on First Street. And it was the monthly event. And we would just have people come and share about awkward experiences and how that kind of like unites us and brings out like our humanity together. And so... Because I was the host, I was forced to get up there and, you know, sweat the whole time. And I always had to share every single time. And I had more than enough awkward stories.
Yeah.
But we would have so many people. It was beautiful how the community would come out. People would bring their cousins and make an event out of it. And people would just, you know, BYOB and just share about, like, this kid shared about, you know, getting a physical and his mom being in the room and how the nurse touching him had made him get an erection, you know? And then, can we say erection on this podcast?
Erection. Just kidding.
I think it's legal to say that, erection.
Okay, he got a hard on, and how do you call it? I switched it up a little. I wanted to show that, you know, I don't need a thesaurus. Yeah. And so he got a boner, and, you know, and it was just a very awkward story. And some man talked about getting like his colonoscopy. And I was just like, whoa, and then just so many other stories, but it was just very bonding and it was a great thing. And I think we had been missing that. So it was great when we were able to finally start the podcast during the shutdown, during COVID.
Yeah, because we were feeling, you know, everybody was holed up in their rooms and we just wanted to connect with each other. And that was also, I think, a powerful moment because a lot of people created their own thing after that, including Conan O'Brien. I'm just kidding. We joke around about how everybody has a podcast, right? But but why not? You know, why not? Why not us too?
Well, you're 2017, right? So he's not started that. He's an OG over here.
If anything, I was doing this since 2013. So I'm just going to throw that out there before the whole everybody jumped on it.
That's legit.
It was rebranded. It was called Live Locals before. And then I was doing it with some friends and we rebranded.
Yeah, because I noticed the episode one, like, you just like jump right into it. And I'm just like, wait, this, he's not saying, hey, everybody, this is my first episode. La, la, la. You don't sound like awkward or anything. You just sound like you've been doing this for years because you had.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Another thing, another fart story.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. Yeah, you know that you did that. And how do you find that time and the community? How did you do that back then?
Oh, I mean, that was, I mean, long story short-ish, kind of. I mean, it started off because I was doing graphic design. Like the real reason was because I was having a kid. I was only, 21? To me, that was young. 21, having a kid. I had no idea what the hell I was doing with my life. Like, I had nothing going for me. And I was like, I got to learn something. You know, I was already good with some art. So I was like, fuck it, graphic design. And I started doing YouTube. Listening to a lot of Joe Rogan back then, you know, when he was doing his really, right now he's okay, but before he was like, the stuff he would talk about was very inspiring in terms of being responsible and accountable for yourself and just doing it, right? Like just getting it done. So at that time it was very motivating for me. And at the, you know, doing the graphic design stuff, nobody really wanted to give you an opportunity if you didn't have like a portfolio or a college degree. And I was just like a brown kid just having a baby. I'm just like, dude, I just want to get paid for, you know, just fucking making designs. And basically I was like, fuck it, I love podcasts, I love design, I'm just gonna start my own podcast, do my graphic design for the podcast and kind of learn as I go. And then just kind of branded my own thing. And you know, again, with the Live Locals started, people, you know, one of the biggest things we always got compliments on was the graphic design. So I was like, yes. And eventually with that, I kind of started getting jobs and that built my professional portfolio, and I still did podcasting. So
yeah, that's so cool. That's really inspirational.
But it was from the need of just wanting to like put my face out there. Like, hey, I need some work, but I also love talking to people. And like, not necessarily like one on ones, I'm okay with, but group stuff, I was like, hell no. But yeah, it was a weird little evolution. The last couple of, I guess at this point, it's like the last 10 years.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, and then just congratulations. You wanted to say congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations for 100 episodes for social.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Where's the little poop 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 poop?
I don't know.
I'll put it later on.
Later. Yeah.
I'm gonna find the spot right now.
I love that energy of just, you know, you do your own thing and you're gonna create it no matter what. That's kind of the energy that we're coming in with, and it's hard, right? Because we both have full time jobs.
Yeah.
We all have other things that we do, but we're really interested in having this. And every time we do it, it feels so good. Like even people will tell me, one of my coworkers, I'm a teacher, I'm an LAUSD teacher. I've been teaching for 18 years, and I have been creative now, in the, you know, my whole life. But you know, since I was like one and stuff. No, I'm just kidding. Well, what am I trying to say? I was just trying to say that it's finally like we gave ourselves permission to be creative and to have space. And when somebody comes up to me and says, hey, I listened to that and it made me cry, I get startled almost, where I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I forget.
Why are you listening to my conversation? Like,
excuse me? What are you talking about? I get shook because it's beautiful when it's beautiful to create art, but it's more beautiful when you can share it, you know? And so we're sharing it, and that it's a wonderful experience.
And I think also it's beautiful for us because we have so much community that we're able to highlight all our friends that do this, all the voices that you really like in their art or in their poetry, and put it here and be like, hey, everybody, look at all these cool people we know. Yeah. And also reaching out to just perfect strangers that have been like, hey, I really like your podcast and I have a story. would you guys be open to it? And, you know, it works out. Sometimes it hasn't, but most of the time it has. And I think that's one of the great things, because in our podcast, it's not just about like us and our feelings on things, but other people's feelings and other people's experiences. And that's the best thing, because we're able to also give something. I mean, I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, we're such good people, we're giving something to somebody. But I mean, they're giving us content, but we're just able to give people this little moment, because maybe they don't have time to have a podcast, or they don't have time to do this kind of thing. But for that little episode that they were on, that little story they told, it's very exciting for them. And it's a cool thing to be able to do for someone.
And the crazy part is that, you know, they're telling their story just, I told it, here you go, that's it, I'm done with it. But then that goes on when somebody else listens and it impacts them, or they listen to it and it's just like, oh, fuck, you know? And then at that point, you're just, it's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
Just experiences being absorbed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly.
That happens to me all the time.
Me too. I have a thing with O's. When I'm recording, I always have a hard time with O's.
Absurd. Oh. Absurd. I'm going to say, it's absurd that I can't say absorb.
Absorb. Yeah, no. That's
close
that's
enough. Close.
That's why I hit it myself. I mean, that, you know, when I was, we were first starting, yeah, I'd stumble so much just saying a simple sentence in that closet, because, you know, you hear you're supposed to be in the closet for the sound to be good, and I'm like, I got out of the closet and now I have to go back in, you know? but yeah, and just, you know, as you could tell, I'm sweating in here, imagine there. But it was, yeah, it's a lot of stumbling, and hearing yourself talk when you first do it is, it could be very like, you know, maybe I don't want to be the host. Maybe I'll get somebody else to host, because I have to edit this and I have to hear what I really sound like to people. And that almost stopped me, but you just kind of power through, right? You power through anything.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a lot of episodes where I'm always, I don't know if it's just me. I guess sometimes my mind is working faster than what my mouth is saying.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm like, as you've noticed, sometimes I'm like, well, you know, whatever it is. But there's a reason I keep those. And I wasn't comfortable with it at first, because I was like, oh, no, it sounds like you're just fucking mumbling. Like, but that's like, that's just the way I talk sometimes, you know? Then for me to remove that is removing a part that makes me me, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like a quirk. I mean, you know, fuck it, you know? Biden has a stuttering problem. Like, I can have my fucking moment too, you know?
Right.
Or what's his name? McConnell?
Yeah,
you know, I can have my moments.
Right. We all have our thing. We all have our voice things. Yeah, my sister will be like, "Why are you talking like that?" You know, cause sometimes I do, when I'm recording, I'm like, ah, I do this weird thing. You know, it's that I do it like softer. You know, women sometimes speak in a higher pitched voice, or you know, I do some weird things. But I always can kind of, Jaime will give me notes like that. This doesn't sound right, or this don't sounds. You know, just go back and re-record, and then you know, I'll re-record. But yeah, like hearing your own authentic voice is important to it, without all the bells and whistles.
Yeah, I still feel weird whenever my girlfriend, sometimes she'll troll me and she'll play my podcast in the background. And I just turn around and look at her like, please pause that. Like, I don't need to hear my voice again. Like, please.
Another thing that's really cool is like bringing even family members into it. Like her sister very early on came and shared a story. And then I, like my brother, I was like, I don't think he will, but then he was willing to tell the story about a trip to Cuba. And at the live event, my niece, my goddaughter, came up and shared a story about a condition she has, POTS, I forget what it stands for, but that made her faint. And she shared about like being in middle school and how being the girl who fainted cost her best friend. And she doesn't speak publicly very often, is very shy. And she did it, and it just made me feel really happy that we would be able to have that because of something that we created and never expecting that. And she was so proud of herself, and it's a really cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, for some people, that those are, you know, breaking down their boundaries, like their fears, you know, like you said, sometimes like that exposure therapy makes sense, you know, you just got to be put in the position where you're faced with that fear and, you know, just try to fucking make the best of it, you know. And that's something personally that I've been doing myself, again, like going in front of crowds or just going, you know, hosting or moderating stuff. It's like these things that I'm still scared of, but you know, especially with knowing the way that I sometimes like mix my words up, I'm just like, nah, I can do it, you know, like it's just being confident sometimes can, you know, takes you a long way.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And there's part of us that likes it. They say Me asusta, pero me gusta.
Me asusta, pero me gusta.
Me asusta, pero me gusta.
Oh, is that a song?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, but, you know, we just, aunque te asustes, we want you to tell your story to everybody. You know, and we always joke around too, like, you can also be a listener. So I love that you said, you know, you go to open mics and you sometimes, you just go to support. You just go to listen. Like, not everybody is going to want to do art in that kind of way. But we just think that it's important for us to know that we can create art in whatever way possible. I went to hear Sandra Cisneros speaking, and something she said really stayed with me. Like, just because you like to dance in the living room, you know, doesn't mean that, you know, you want to go to Juilliard and be on stage, you know, at a major stage. But the act of dancing, the act of writing, the act of creating art, we should all have access to that. We should all celebrate it. And we should all do it. And then one day we're going to all... No, I'm just going to ramble. I start to ramble and then my eyes go cross-eyed. But what I'm trying to say is that, you know, like, let's keep celebrating each other and creating spaces for each other. Yeah.
How did you guys, like, the storytelling part, or just like, were you guys writers? I know you have a poetry collection, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is this before you guys started doing the podcast?
Yeah, I've been writing poetry for a while, and I think I've always wanted to be in the arts. So we found at Casa 0101 that I wanted to write, right? So I went and I looked for classes, and I found classes at Casa, and I told Jaime, and then I didn't show up. That's always the story. Like, I didn't go, but he stayed, and he kept going.
She flaked.
Yeah, and she even told me, like, if you go, I'm like, well, I'm not a writer, and I don't have a degree. No, I didn't say that part, but she's like, you can just come listen, just come support me, and you won't have to do anything. And I was like, all right, cool. I want to be around that energy, even though I'm not a writer. And yeah, she didn't show up. And then by then, they had already, like, taken the dollar donation. And as I get a text, sorry, friend, I'm not going to make it. Hope you're not there yet, but sorry.
Hope you're not there yet.
Yeah, whatever.
Already paid.
And so, and then people are handing me their scripts. They're like, oh, you're going to read this character. It's the main character in the page. And I'm...
Wait, you're going to read?
Uh-huh. They want me to read. And she said I didn't have to participate, you know? Yeah. So I'm like, because I have, like, mild dyslexia, and I am not a good cold reader. I need to at least read it once. And so anyway, that night I ended up having to, like, stumble through reading and hear people's stuff. But I really liked the vibe there, you know? It was just a bunch of, like, Latinos. There was people with degrees. There was people who were like, oh, you know, I work at Vons, but I like to do this because it makes me feel good. And I ended up just, like, staying, and I never left. And before that, Josefina, but what's your name? Yesenia. Yesenia had taken me to a play festival there that was called Brown and Out, and it was, like, a bunch of plays. And so I heard on that first class that they were going to be taking submissions, so I decided to stay and maybe write a play. And the very last day of class, I brought something in, and it was this big monologue about, like, I don't know, coming out or something. And I just ended up loving it, and I wrote a play, and I was able to get produced, you know, and I became a writer, you know, and suddenly I was, what? And thanks to Yesenia, you know, and then Yesenia didn't come back to Casa for a very long time.
I didn't.
And she was just teaching, and she wasn't, you know, sharing her poetry publicly too much.
Yeah, I would do open mics and stuff, but not consistently.
Yeah, but even, like, when she was, like, fresh and still, like, how old were you? Like, 22, I would see her, like, at gigs, like at punk rock gigs, and, like, what is it? Elite. Forgot what the city terrace. She would tell poetry between bands, you know.
Tell me through the punk.
And I always thought she was like a rock.
Nobody,
like,
was listening, but it's okay. I'm just kidding.
It's just, I guess what I was just saying is, like, so that she's been doing it, but not. And then so all these years later, to see her finally have that courage to get her poetry in a collection and get it published and have something physical to hold. It makes me very emotional and proud of her to see her come all this way. And part of it, I think, maybe her sharing at these open mics, and part of it has to do probably a little bit with what we've done with the podcast, right, and the confidence.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I went to college in Santa Barbara. I grew up in Bell. I went to Bell High School. So when I went to Santa Barbara, I was like, what the fuck again? Like, yeah. What's going on here? You know, I had people calling me a border sister or telling me about my accent or... saying that did I make my shirt, like, weird shit, right? So I just got, like, shut down. Like, it shut me down in a lot of different ways, but I found poetry then, and, like, and that was a way for me to express myself and use my voice. And so that's kind of where I've been going with that, and I just kind of let it lie dormant for a while. But now I have this book, and we have these podcasts, and I'm in school. I'm at UC Riverside. I'm getting a MFA in creative writing. I'm writing a lot. Nice. I think Latinos are also super underrepresented in publishing. We're like very low numbers of us. But there's so many cool books out there now. Obed Silva, Death of My Father, the Pope. He's a local guy. He teaches at East LA College. And I just feel like there's real energy right now with everybody here. And at Brujeria, there's the Ghost Press with Mike, Matt. I'm sorry, I changed his name. Oh, my God. He's going to kill me.
And then Pomona, we have Caesar.
Pomona, Caesar at the Poet Laureate over there. We have Luis Rodriguez, who's always been a champion. He actually wrote a book called Music of the Mill about a factory in Vernon that I recently read. And it's just like, I just feel like now they put this little path for us to kind of be creative and tell our stories. And we're kind of just picking up that torch and along with you and everybody on the creative folks are kind of passing it along. And from that was my journey where I just didn't feel like, you know, again, like we were saying earlier, well, nobody's going to care, you know, it sucks, or, you know, that little mean voice you have, or that's a very valid fear. But then I just said, you know, screw it. I'm just going to, I might fall, and my people might not like it, but I like it. If I like it, I'm going to keep doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where we found the community too, amongst the people who feel the same way, you know? I mean, it's powerful stuff what you guys are doing. I've listened to your stuff, and like, it's definitely beautiful. Just putting the stories together. So, I hope you guys keep doing it. I know you guys have season 2 coming up very soon,
very
right?
Soon, by the end of the year, we will have begun this cycle of the next season.
Yeah, we'll get started on season 2. And I just want to say thank you to you because the communities you've built for the 10 years. I think that's one of the most fun things too, is when you start to see like the community you've built and how many people are gravitating toward you or us. We didn't know. Like, I knew I had community, but I didn't know until we started doing the podcast, until I had the book out, and I was like, oh shit, you know what? People are like, we have some very strong roots in our community, and we have a lot of support.
Yes, Anya, Jaime, thank you guys for taking the time to come out. If people want to check out your page, the episodes you guys already have, like what's in the open mics you guys are going to be hosting, like what's the best way to find you?
I think it's on IG, on Que Me Cuentas Pod, and also just any place that provides podcasts, Que Me Cuentas.
Yeah, Que Me Cuentas, Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. And you can follow our personal accounts too. I'm at Chabemucho, Chabemucho. And
I'm Jaime Mexicano. That's it. Just all together.
Or email us, or just find us on IG. Yeah.
And we'll put the links on the bottom of them, bottom of the episode, you know? But no, thank you guys again. Again, it's really cool what you guys are doing. You know, I'm glad, like, that. Who was your friend or your sister? What? That put you in the pressure on the booth for the Cella Arts Fest? Like, who? Or your cousin?
Gabby.
Gabby.
All right. Well, thank you, Gabby. Shout out to Gabby.
Some Watts. Yeah.
Gabby. For Watts.
Thank you, Gabby.
For making that connection, you know? Because again, it's. At the end of the day, like something that I've learned the last couple of months is just allowing yourself to be open to opportunities, you know, and just taking, you know, they're scary, you know, you're a little like nervous, but it's just about kind of going through with them. And sometimes, you know, doors open up for you that you didn't know were already there, and, you know, and then you make the connections. So we can, that's how we're all going to come up, just making that network.
But, yeah, definitely. And anyone who's interested in participating, even you, Eddie, please look at some of the themes that we have coming up that's in our IG, because your stories do matter. Everybody has a story, and just because you're brown doesn't mean that it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, stories matter. Our stories are important. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I love that. Well, thank you guys again, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you.